And at a reunion in Everett, Washington, A.C. Martin, who many of you know, stood up and spoke to me and said that even though I should return to the people that I loved across the sea, that there would come many who would seek counsel at my hand. And then he said this, "When thy ministry is completed afar, thou shalt come again and behold the towers of Zion arising in their glory and in their beauty. For you shall see in the righteousness of my people the towers of eternity." And that was given in 1935, 2,200 miles away, 3 years before I went for this special blessing. And as Brother Albert laid his hands on my head and talked, he said this, "You have received from another the promise of a safe return. But what shall transpire as the days come and go, you do not know. But inasmuch as you shall be faithful, there will always be a little light, always a little way ahead on your pathway, so that you should know the course you ought to take." Let's transpose that. Let me say it to you. If you are faithful, there will always be a little light on your pathway, always a little way ahead, so that you should know the course you ought to take. That's one of the promises by which we are made partakers of the divine nature. One of the promises by which we may have administered to us an abundant entrance into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, the working out of this promise was a very, very wonderful thing, sown into my life in ways that cannot be forgotten. I remember well standing by the radio when Mr. Churchill made one of his tremendous speeches. The British Army was pinned against the sea at Dunkirk, being bombarded by the most fearsome war machine that until that time the world had ever seen. And he came to talk to the British people. He said many things which will be remembered down through the ages, like blood and toil, tears and sweat. But one phrase he used was from Shakespeare, which passed almost unnoticed. "Better see the desecration of our hearth and homes than let this tyranny survive. Better that we should die on our feet than live on our knees," he said. And then he said these words, "As the will of God is in heaven, so let him do to us." And this was not only rhetoric, it was the cry of a great soul in the midst of a great nation, asking for and trying to welcome whatever was the will of God. And you know what it was: scourgings and fire and blood and vapors of smoke. The clearing away of the old selfishness to make room for a fresh beginning. I stood listening, and I began to wonder what the will of God was in heaven. Should it be that Hitler would invade England and seize the industrial might of the British Empire? North America would have been turned into an armed camp out of sheer self-defense. All the manpower would have been confiscated, all the gifts and all the wealth would have been marshaled, and no man's life would have been his own. And I said to myself, if this transpires, where is the promise of Zion? And no sooner had I said this to myself than the good Spirit spoke to me, and this is what it said: "Arthur, have I not said that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness, and then shall the end come? And I replied in my mind, yes, Lord, it's in the 24th chapter of Matthew, the 13th chapter of St. Luke, and the 13th chapter of St. Mark, and the 21st chapter of St. Luke. And then the voice went on. How can the gospel of the kingdom be preached in all the world for a witness until there is a visible kingdom to which witness can be born? I hadn't thought of that before. And then the voice ended by saying, I shall not permit the forces of destruction so far to engulf the world as to make impossible the building of my Zion. And in that I rested, and have rested ever since. One of the great and precious promises that has been given to us, by which, if we utilize these promises, we may have administered to us an abundant entrance into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The task in which we're engaged is tremendous. It's beyond our capacity in imagination to envisage. And though the task is great that lies before us, we know one who is great enough to give us the power to do the things we ought to do. And it's in this faith that we continue. In this assurance, we have the power to do as we ought. In this certainty, and perhaps that's not a good word, in this certainty, we can be set free to do as we ought to do.